There are these two little words which strike deep into the hearts of present givers on Christmas Day. You may have heard them. It's those two little words. What else? Anyone else hear these words? And usually coming out of the mouths of kids who sound a little ungrateful, going, these presents are great, but what else do you got? It's really bad for dads, because dads have no idea what else is going on. No idea what mom wrapped for Christmas. And if you've got young kids, you might know exactly how it feels, because by the time they ask this question, they've already unwrapped so many things, and they don't put the wrapping paper away, so there's this magical trash heap going on. The little ones love it. Paper's so fun. The older kids are like, well, what else? And they already kind of forgot the presents they got. My kids, of course, are not at all like this. They would never ask this. They're so thankful and perfect. Hey, guys, how's it going? But I imagine that there are some kids somewhere who still ask, what else you got? But it's not just kids, right? This might be an unpopular opinion. But and Christmas is great, don't get me wrong. But I wonder if sometimes adults ask this question. Because I think we get let down a little bit every year. The holiday season builds up to Christmas, or if that's too secular for you, Advent is about expectation. And then it's finally Christmas, it's here. And especially this year, right? Like, we're all like, Christmas is great. But God, we'd like some other things this year. I could have had ham with my family a bunch of other times this year if I wanted to. It's sort of like, man, I'm going to get in trouble today. It's like births of babies. It's great, but we need a little bit more. And some of us, even as adults, find ourselves here this Christmas going, God, what else can you do? Another unpopular opinion. I'm going to get moms upset today. I'm sorry. Babies are okay, but kids are better. This might be a dad thing, and if you've got a little baby at home, you shouldn't say this out loud. And this isn't the Bible, this is just me, but newborn babies are great. They cry, they poop, they eat. They don't have object permanence, so they don't think you exist when they don't see you. Babies are great. But for me, the best part about babies aren't babies. It's what they turn into. Like, just for me, and I'm a dad, babies are fine, but kids? Little kids are the best. Like, they're just amazing. And once the baby starts to smile and laugh and show a little bit of personality, for me as a dad, like, that's when I love it. Like, last year, little baby Luke wasn't sure what a present was. This year, get out of his way. Like, he'll just take over a room, and I love it. Again, my theory, not the Bible. For me, the best thing about babies is what they become, which is why it's a little bit weird to me how quickly people move away from Christmas. I mean, the joy of Christmas, it was never about a helpless baby in a manger and leaving it at that. Christmas is meaningful because of what the baby became and what he did. Christmas, in a sense, is little more than a sign pointing back at God's promises kept and pointing toward the life, death, resurrection, and kingdom of Jesus. And I think one of the crazy tragedies of Christmas is we enjoy all the little signs, a baby in a manger is great, and then we stop celebrating before we think about what the sign is pointing to. In fact, if you ever celebrate Christmas and you go, well, man, that's great, God, but what else? Because I need some other things. Maybe you're not ungrateful. Maybe you're asking the exact right question. Because the birth of Christ doesn't end there. It points to something else. The life, death, resurrection, and rule. Like the thing that happened to Jesus next, that changes your life. It's like, you know, anyone else follow the news about the Christmas star? I think Saturn and Jupiter appeared really close together. Anyone get to see that? I didn't. I was busy with kids. But do you know what the Christmas star actually did in the story? I mean, it shone bright in a dark setting. The wise men saw it. But I want you to notice something about this star. This is Matthew 2. We've probably read this story already this year, but I want to look at it again. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw," see what it says there? "We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." And here's a simple but easy to miss point about the star thing. It's not, it really isn't the Bethlehem star. It's the Savior's star. What does a star do? The star doesn't just stand there and look pretty. It points to something. Now, if the wise men were like most of us, you know what most people would do? We'd admire the star and go, "What a great star," and we'd never follow the star to see where it goes. You know what the wise men didn't do? And this is why they're wise men, I guess. They didn't go, "What a pretty star. Let's just admire it and celebrate the fact that there is a star. And then when we're done looking at the star, we could go, okay, what else do you got, God?" That's not what they did, right? You know what the wise men did? I'll just tell you. "And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose, it went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." But they didn't stop there. They did something else. They didn't just admire the beautiful star. They followed it. They went to the thing it was pointing to. So going to the house, they saw the child with Mary, the mother. They fell down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures. They offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's a simple point. They saw the sign, and they followed it. They looked at what it was pointing to. What really mattered, like this isn't a story about a star. It's a sign of what the sign was pointing to. And God gave them way more than just a sign, a star. Here's a question, like, what else does God have for you? Well, a lot more. Christmas, the baby, is just pointing to something else. You might, and you probably should, take down the Christmas trees. You should finish the Advent devotionals. But if you don't keep on following what Christmas is pointing to, you've missed the point of Christmas. If you don't keep following what the birth of a baby is showing us, you really don't understand what it is. You know, like most year, we could talk about Christmas and Easter attenders. There are folks you only see on Christmas and Easter, and that's a bit less the case in 2020. But look, I think all of us tend to think a little bit more about Jesus during Advent and Christmas during the rest of the year. But I wonder if we're thinking about it all wrong. Like, Christmas shouldn't be a stop sign in our walk with Christ. Christmas shouldn't end our devotion. It should launch. It should be the start of a journey. Start following the Savior that the baby becomes. You know, we've been reading a couple of verses in Matthew, but three chapters later, Jesus says something else about light, about what his words do in dark settings. This is Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way," Jesus says, "let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Merry Christmas. Do you know what else God has for you? Well, the next step doesn't look like putting the light of Christmas away. It looks like the fact that God has given you a mission of pointing other people to God. And by benefiting from Jesus' work, as you find deeper levels of trust and fortitude and grit, Like Jesus is so valuable this year because he helps us in times of chaos and crisis. And when you benefit from God, you influence. In fact, if trusting God helps you, don't keep it a secret. Actually, this is really easy this year because people are going through so many difficult times. If you happen to listen to your neighbors or friends or whoever, and you notice that you're more hopeful because you trust in Christ who sits on the throne, tell people why. If you find yourself more joyful, tell people your secret. Don't keep it a secret. Like this year especially, people need help. Help people out. You know what lights do? They shine on things. Can you imagine how ridiculous it would be if the wise men saw the star and said, oh, what a nice star. What else do you got, God? Like, I mean, of course, the star points to Jesus. And in the same way, we have a calling both to follow and benefit from and point others to Christ. I mean, Christmas doesn't end now. Christmas points you to something. It's a little bit like this skit we had in the beginning of this. It should direct each of us to Jesus. Your entire life, in a way, should be like that star pointing people to Christ. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, and just I want you to listen to how the Apostle Paul talks about his life. And man, I love these words. 1 Thessalonians 2:8. He's writing to a church. And he says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, of how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. You know how, like a good father with his children, we exhorted each of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Like this is what God's called us to do. And I believe that Christmas, among other things, is a calling on your life to be like that to other people. And can you imagine how great it would be to live in a community where we all both benefited from and pointed other people to this help? This is what God's people are called to. Actually, the book of Daniel puts it this way. He says, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness, well, they're like the stars forever and ever. You, as a follower of Jesus, you have a mission, and it's to be a star who shines brightly as you point other people to the hope you find in Jesus. Look, don't let the decorations fool you. Christmas is basically over. And if you find yourself going, well, that was fun, I guess, but what else, God? What else do you have for me? That's an okay question to ask. Because God answers it. And you find not just a baby, but you find everything in Christ. And what you discover as you follow him is that your life and your work and your worship and everything that you are, how you act, how you talk, how you work, how you think, it should all not just come from Christ, but it should benefit other people as they see it. Or check out what Jesus says. Check out the metaphor. Jesus said to them, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, and that's us, right? Will not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. Or take the next verse, 2 Corinthians, I think 4:6. But the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. No, journey was never meant to end with the wise men around a nativity scene. Christmas means that your journey is just beginning. You know, it's sort of like, I'll use this illustration. Sometimes for Christmas, back when we went to restaurants, folks who were really kind would give us a gift certificate. Does everybody know what a gift certificate is? It's worthless. It's absolutely worthless. It is a piece of paper with usually sloppy handwriting on it. It doesn't taste very good. You can't play with it. Gift certificates are pretty worthless until you do something with it. Then one day, your wife goes, "Let's go out. We have," and she says those magical words, "a gift certificate. The backyard has a fence. The kids will be fine." She doesn't say that. But then we open the envelope, we look at the gift certificate, we go to the place, we follow the instructions where it's listed, and we enjoy a wonderful meal that we didn't have to cook or clean up after. And we have a wonderful time. From a gift certificate, from a thoughtful person, is what a gift certificate could be. But if you leave it home in an envelope unused, it's worthless. Gift certificates aren't anything by themselves. They point to something else. And I think for a lot of people, Christmas becomes like an unused gift certificate that you let expire in a drawer. And you're like, yay, baby Jesus. Let's put him back in the closet till next year. And then the weird thing is, we put Jesus away. We close the book on Jesus. And then we're like someone who's really hungry, wanting to go out, starving, wondering how we could survive. And when crisis hits us, we somehow forget what we have. And if we follow the gift certificate to what it certifies, we'd be way better. You know what Christmas means? It's a promise. It's a certification that every promise of God is yes and amen in Jesus. Christmas is a promise, not just that Jesus or God kept his promises, but that you can today, tomorrow, and the next day build your life on God's promises. Christmas means God has a better way for you to live, a feast for those who are hungry. And it means, well, it means doing something really simple. You know what you have to do? Open the gift certificate, see what it is, and start the feast. So I've got a really, really simple challenge this morning as we start facing the new year. And if you're ever in a place where you finish up Christmas and you're like, what else? Well, here's the answer. This year, my challenge to you is to let Christmas be more than just a sign. Let it be something to follow. Follow the sign, right? Or let me give you some more specificity to help. Your year coming up, how you think about whatever comes next, how you process stress, how you interact with other people, how you deal with the things that may mess you up, all of this next year will be better off if you know and benefit from what God's given you. And some of you could testify to that. Some of you have really grown and seen God's faithfulness. But for a lot of us, Christmas is as though we like look at a gift certificate, stuff her in a drawer, and forget about it. So for everyone, this year, you'd be better off if you opened up and read your Bible and began a feast on it. Let me just give you really two specific action points. I want you to pray about it. Some of you already do this really well, but this is something that will help you out in the coming months and years. The first thing, I want to encourage you as you think about the new year, and we all do that in the next couple days, I think you'd all be better off if you can make a commitment to spend some time in God's Word. It's like a gift certificate. Open it, find what God's given you and how to take advantage of it. You'll be better off if you spend time with God, and we've given you some resources in your bulletin online. We actually give you a handout like this. It gives you a plan to read through the entire Bible, a couple chapters, 5 days a week. If you look at the online bulletin, you'll see a bunch of other programs. YouVersion has like 100 different plans to read for a month or a couple weeks. But think about it. Even if you just go, you know, I'm going to read a chapter of the Bible a day for 5 days a week. Like, you know, take the time I normally spend reading depressing articles and reading the Bible. Like, come up with a plan, do it. The second point, this is just going to help you the first one. Tell someone about your plan. Tell two people what your commitment is, what your goal is. There's lots of statistics that say the same thing, but essentially as soon as you say the words out loud to someone else what your goal is, the chance for you to accomplish your goal just jumps. Like if you let someone know the words come out of your worth, if you tell someone what you want to do, you turn to someone, even right after the service, I want to read my Bible 5 days a week. You're also giving someone permission to check on you. So next week you go, hey, remember when you told me what you're going to do? How's it doing? So here's what I want you to do. Come up with some sort of plan and tell someone about it. Hey, I want to read through the book of John in 30 days. Or you can invite someone to join you. Hey, I'm going to do this Bible plan. Do you want to do it with me? Or, hey, next week, can you just ask me what I learned from, what do I got here? Oh, wow, the book of Mark? That'll be fun. You know, if you do those two things, that may change your year. Here's your assignment. It's simple. Don't leave the gift certificate expiring in the box. What else does God have for you? Like, God has a feast. Don't ignore it. Don't complain because you're hungry when God has a meal for you. And then start shining your light in this dark world. This Christmas, this new year, may we each live lives that shine brightly and consistently. May each of us benefit and not take for granted what God has given us until all of those who God has put in our lives see what it looks like to benefit from and live in the presence of the King who is born in a manger. And may they find what God gives, joy. So Father in heaven, I pray that you would not let us miss out on what you've given us in the birth of your Son. Father, can you help us to receive all the amazing benefits from the perfect life, the sacrificial death, the resurrection, and the reign and rule of King Jesus? May we not take it for granted. May we, how can you just show us what you've given us in Scripture? Can you open the eyes of our hearts that we might see wonderful things from your word? May we benefit from it. Can you fortify us against crises? Can you work in the lives of those we care about? Can you help us? And then can you help us shine your light toward others? Father, we need you, sometimes more than we think we do. Can you give us the gift of joy? I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.